The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you could be with us this morning on SB Nation AM. I really do believe in what I call the hard knocks effect. For NFL teams, I mean, they don't take the winners of the league. They don't take the teams that are successful. You know, they take teams that are struggling a bit. They take teams that have got maybe some interesting stories. And this year they took the Cleveland Browns. And I believe tonight's game between the Browns and the Jets, in all honesty, if you just didn't have any sort of inside information that we got from Hard Knocks or any sort of oversaturation of the press that we got with the Cleveland Browns and their winless season last year. This is a dog game. This is a terrible game. But because Sam Darnold is a rookie starter, because the Browns appeared on HBO and gave us all sorts of insight into their operations and how they're overcoming an 0-16 season, and we get to know some of the players a little bit more intimately as we know their family life, I think this game is interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to watching it. Now, last year, you take the same game, the same kind of with these franchises, put it on a Thursday night, it's skippable. Maybe I'll watch a good baseball game, or maybe I'll watch it passively. But I'm actually kind of interested in this game because of the Sam Darnold effect. And listen, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing when the Cleveland Browns win a game, how we all react to it, especially with those beer cases opening them up. So I don't know. I mean, I think there is a Hard Knocks effect where if you watch the show, and I watch the show every year. Now, some years I watch it more intently than others, but I still watch it. You watch the show and you get to feeling like, maybe I know this team a little well. Maybe it's not one of the teams I follow on a regular basis, or I get really detailed, but I know it better, and therefore a game like this has some intrigue. To me, it also has intrigue because I like seeing developments of quarterbacks, especially ones that are kind of tabbed as franchise guys, and I'm interested in seeing how Sam Darnold is going to do. I saw it in Tennessee where I live with Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston the same year. Right? You see it with Carson Wentz, who's coming back to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. So tonight, I mean, it should have been one of those kind of NFL games, but I think there is some intrigue to it. All right, coming up, I want to get into some NBA and the Mark Cuban situation and what he said a couple of years ago is coming back in a way that I never thought I'd talk about, but we'll talk about it next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the NBA did an investigation into the Dallas Mavericks after there was an initial report in Sports Illustrated, I think back in February, about a culture just ripe with misogyny and predatory sexual behavior, I think the way they described it, that spanned decades into the organization. Not just recently, I mean, a long time. So the NBA did this investigation, and NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said, hey, this is disturbing. This is not just a couple of guys being guys in an organization. This is bad. This is really bad. And Mark Cuban was on The Jump with Rachel Nichols to answer for this, because Cuban's been the owner of the franchise for quite a while. I mean, I want to say going on almost close to two decades now that he's been the owner of this basketball team. So when you're talking about sort of this long-term culture of sexual harassment and, again, misogyny and sexual behavior that's within a business organization, naturally you got to go to the owner of the organization to say, hey, what's going on here? Like, how much did you know? What did you know? And what can we take out of this? So Cuban is willing to put himself out there, right? And what I've always liked about Mark Cuban is he's very good in front of a camera. He's very good at being able to talk and sell himself, if you will. And I'm not saying that he's selling himself here, because we're going to hear from what he said and some of the things that I liked his approach to it. But unlike Urban Meyer, he does a better job at this in coming out to the public to say, okay, you got a problem with this, and that means you got a problem with me, and here's how I'm answering it. Here's Mark Cuban, who's talking about the pain of the people in this situation, the organization.
Just the pain that they went through with my company. It was the same way I felt when I stood in front of Mavs employees for the first time after this came out. You know, and I apologize to them. It just never in my wildest dreams did I think that this was happening right underneath me. And I'd never, the pain that people went through, the pain that people shared with me as this happened, the tears that I saw, it hurt. And the way I felt is nothing compared to the way they felt.
All right, so let me say this. If you're a self-made billionaire like Mark Cuban is, there's a lot of factors that go into that. A lot of it, some of it is luck, some of it is perfect timing, some of it's incredible hard work, but some of it is also the ability to see things that are different than other people, right? You can see business trends a mile away, or you see avenues of success that other people don't see. Some people can walk through a wide open door to success and miss it completely, and other people can see that small, narrow gap of success and know that if I just can get through that, I'm going to end up being a successful person. That's Mark Cuban. A lot of this stuff is hard. When I hear that, a lot of that is hard to believe. You can sense his pain in there. You can sense that he's very, very upset at this. It is incredible to me that Mark Cuban owned the Dallas Mavericks and has been actively a part of the organization, meaning I sit with people, I talk to fans, I've changed the fan experience, I've learned the mistakes of the past, of what the organization had done before I bought it, I tried to change it, I talked to players. I mean, Mark Cuban one time bragged that he had the best towels in the league, right? I mean, NBA towels are sweet, but he bragged about how, because he asked players when he bought the team, what is it that you want? Give me some of the small details of what would make playing here better. And like somebody said, yeah, the towels aren't big enough and they're not fluffy enough or whatever it was. And he bragged that he went out and bought the best possible and largest possible towels. That seems small, but that was the stuff Mark Cuban used to publicly talk about how detail oriented he was with his team. Now he's trying to say, I had no idea any of this was going on for years and years and years. Now, it's believable in some sense, because you don't know what you don't know and you don't know what you don't see, right? If you're not looking for it, sometimes you don't see it, right? If you're not actively looking or talking to your employees about their work experience, or you're not noticing that people are reluctant to do certain things with certain people or work with certain people, or however that dynamic works in the workplace, then you can almost buy this as saying, Mark Cuban was just letting the machine be the machine, right? He put people in place to do their jobs and then just sort of stepped back and was an owner and then dealt with the things he wanted to deal with and let other people deal with the things he didn't want to deal with, right? Making players happy with towels and talking to fans about Wi-Fi, right? Things like that. When in reality, he should have been paying attention to almost everything that's going on because it is his organization. Here's Cuban talking about this situation is more than money.
I think more important than the money is the example we can set, because there hasn't been anybody who really has who had to go through this and set the tone on what's the right way to respond and what's the right thing to do. And so the goal, even more than the money, is for me to get out there and, you know, teach others from my experiences.
Now, Cuban is going to donate $10 million to women's organizations because of this. Now, I want to say this. Mark Cuban, you remember a number of years ago when Donald Sterling was caught on a telephone recording making racist statements, that everybody around the country was screaming that the NBA had to do something. And Adam Silver came in and said, that's it. You know, that's it. Or maybe it was David Stern, whoever was the commissioner at the time. They took the team away from Donald Sterling. They took it away from him. Now, everybody seemed okay with that, and it seemed the right thing to do. NFL, the NBA, for example, is an organization of owners, and they have the right to run that organization as they see fit. They don't need a racist owning a team, especially when many of the players are African-American. They wanted to make that statement that you make this kind of stuff, this stuff can be taken away from you. But Cuban was very, very, very careful on this. All right. Years ago, Cuban was one of the few outspoken owners that said, okay, wait a minute. I want to be careful here because we are taking property away from somebody because we didn't like what they said. All right. And in a country that prides itself on free speech, whether it's free speech we like or absolutely despise and hate, we are removing property from somebody because of what they said. And Cuban always said that goal line will shift. And if it shifts too much, a lot more owners would be in danger. That's why I found this line in the article rather interesting. He said he was not asked by the league to step down as an owner or to sell the team. Why would he need to do that? Why would he need to say that? Why was that even asked? Because, as he said back then, years ago, that goal line is now switched. That goal line is moving, right? It's now, in an era of the Me Too movement, it's now plausible that an NBA owner could lose his team over something like this, where the front office is just reeking with misogyny and sexual harassment. Okay. Again, we're talking about somebody's property. We're not talking about firing somebody, because you can't fire Mark Cuban. But the idea that the question of were you asked to sell the team or were you asked to step down as an owner because of this, that's what Cuban talked about a few years ago. He was asking owners and everyone to be careful. Because if they did it to Donald Sterling because today we're upset with him for racism, what will we be upset tomorrow? What would we add on to that list? And we're talking about people who have invested, you know, millions and millions, if not billions, into buying these franchises and have dedicated a lot of their time and effort into making that investment work, like Cuban has. Okay? So I found that really, really interesting. Cuban's done a very good job here. I mean, he's saying, I didn't know, I should have known. And here is the ultimate. He says, talking about the allegations before he owned the team of what was going on within the Dallas organization before he came through.
Should I have done due diligence? Should they have disclosed it? Yes. But I just, you know, it was just, this is a dream come true. And I, you know, should I have interviewed Terdema to make sure he'd be a good CEO and there weren't issues? Yeah. And I didn't. You know, in hindsight, again, but I was just excited to buy the Mavs. I was excited. And it just never dawned on me that within my own company, you know, within the Mavericks, that no one would reach out to me.
Yeah. And I don't blame him for that whatsoever. I mean, he was a relatively young guy when he became a billionaire. Right. And he was doing kind of young guy things as a billionaire. right? It wasn't was 2000. I think it was 2001 or 2002. Remember, he talked about a referees and or running a Dairy Queen, and then he went to go work at a Dairy Queen. And it was the kind of stuff young Mark Cuban was doing back in his late 30s when he had more money than he knew what to do with, and he was running around and he wanted to own a sports team, and he bought the Mavericks. And no one gives you an idea of, hey, you know what? You go and this is how you do it. This is how you run it. He invented some things. He was a businessman, became a billionaire. Now he's being asked to run an organization he was just excited to own. That's a plausible reason for why you didn't do due diligence. But at least today he's standing up and saying, you know what? I now should have known. I should have done better. I owed it to people to do better. I like this because while he's not making excuses, he is explaining himself from a young from being a young guy owning this a team in the league. And what most of us would probably, I have no idea if I became a billionaire tomorrow and I decided to buy, you know, the Nashville Predators. I have no idea how to run it. And I've been in sports. I've talked to GMs. I've talked to owners. I know how this thing works. I still wouldn't know the inner workings of the business side of it, from sales to marketing and all of those things, to communications, to web design, all of that stuff that you're trying to do and you're trying to get, trying to launch with an organization. I'd have no idea. And I probably wouldn't have gone in and done, you know, entry interviews to everybody that I'm keeping on staff to ask him about this kind of thing. Remember, Cuban bought this team in like 2000, right? 99, 2000. So, I mean, we had a different mindset. We weren't looking for things like this. And I think a 38, 39, 40-year-old Mark Cuban wasn't looking for that either. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. If you want to get in on this, there's no punishment for Mark Cuban from this. It is a bad report. It is a bad investigation that led to some pretty bad things for the Mavericks. It stains them. It could stain him, but nevertheless, he's not being reprimanded by the league or punished in any way. He did agree to contribute $10 million to women's organizations because of this findings. 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you get the better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Oh, we just got done talking about Mark Cuban. I like Mark Cuban a lot. I've always liked him. I liked his antics against referees. I thought it was refreshing. I've always loved the NBA, and I always thought it was his act was pretty cool. I was not turned off by it at all. I used to watch. I don't watch it anymore, but I used to watch Shark Tank a lot, and that was on reruns. It's on like seven times a night, like all on CNBC. But I like him on that show too, because he gets a little antsy with people who come in and try to swindle the, you know, sharks. I've always liked Mark Cuban. I like the fact that he's kind of stepped up and taken some accountability on this situation. But he's one of those owners, and I said this about Jerry Jones too, is that I can come sometimes separate, you know, like Jerry Jones, I can separate his ownership of the Cowboys with his general managership of the Cowboys, right? One doesn't always behoove the other. I don't think he's done some great things with Dallas in terms of personnel-wise, but as an owner, I've always liked the fact that he loves his team, and he wants you, as if you're a Cowboys fan, he wants you to love it as much as possible. He wants to give you more reasons to love it. And I think Mark Cuban has done that as well. I think Mark Cuban, you know, came into a league. He bought the team in 2000 for like $280 million. Like it's worth, you know, in the billions. I mean, like $1 billion. Remember when Steve Ballmer bought that, the Clippers for $2 billion? It's like, that's crazy. That was because teams were going for like $200 million, not 15 years ago.
Yeah. And you get the feeling that he's trying to be like Mark Cuban.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Right.
But you know, you sit there like, I know, you know what? There's only one cube.
And, no, there's only one Mark Cuban.
You know, that shtick is kind of almost trademarked.
He started broadcast.com, which was a brilliant concept back in the day with the internet. Like, where, you know, you live in Wisconsin and you're a Florida Gators fan and you could get your Florida football through the internet, which was, nobody had done that before. And nobody was doing something like that before. And no one thought about doing something like that. And he did. And then sold broadcast.com. And he had made $1 million before. He had done something else and became, he had made like $2 million in some, when he was younger, some initial buyout of a company he started. And then he used that to fund what later became broadcast.com and became a billionaire. And when he became a billionaire, he said he immediately went to Vegas, which I got to be honest with you, even when I'm getting older, if somehow I won the lottery and was like for $500 million or something crazy like that, I think I'd do the exact same thing. I'd go to Vegas and just have a great weekend, a beyond good weekend, and then just go back to, all right, okay, now what do I do with the rest of this money? What do I put it in some fund? What do I got to do with it? Let's get serious about it. But he initially just went, I'm young, I'm a billionaire, it's never going to go away, I'm off to Vegas, and I'm going to have a good time. And that's it. Like even when you become a billionaire, it's that moment of, I'm not losing this income. Like, now I'm going to be a billionaire forever. That's it. I've made it, and now I'm rich, and I'm having a good time. And he did that. And then he got to work. And one of the things he got to work with was, A, buying a Gulfstream airplane, and the other one was buying the Dallas Mavericks. But he's got his hands in a lot of cookie jars, man. The believability that he wasn't aware of all this going on is real. He's got his hands in everything. HDNet, I mean, 100 other companies that he's doing. So I kind of understand where he's going. All right, so last night, Ron, I went out to dinner. I took the family out to dinner, finally. I haven't done this in a long time. We haven't had a family go out to eat meal in a long time. So last night, everyone was home, and I said, okay, nobody's got any obligations with soccer. So, you know, nobody's got any obligations here or there. I said, we're all going out to dinner. So we all went out to dinner, and I did what I don't normally do. I stopped doing this because I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to exercise more and whatnot, but I went hog nuts. I mean, I literally went crazy. I ordered appetizers. I got a big meal. I got a side item. I ate my daughter's side rice that she didn't finish. We went out for dessert. I mean, like, I went crazy last night. So this morning, I got to be honest with you, I'm paying the price a little bit. I'm drinking some ginger ale because they say if you have an upset stomach to drink ginger ale. But is that an old wives' tale or is that real?
I think it's an old wives' tale, but I do the same thing.
I got a can of, we have some ginger ale in the house and in the downstairs fridge, and I went and said, all right, I know I got some, and I'm going to...
Listen, you're sounding very bougie right now, man. You're going out, like, just high-rolling at a restaurant, eating all the apps, and then it's like, but I have it in my downstairs fridge.
Downstairs fridge. I have a separate fridge for all the junk that we put
in. As opposed to the upstairs fridge.
Yeah, the upstairs fridge. Well, the downstairs fridge is where we buy stuff and we store it down there. And sometimes you go down there and go, oh, we had cheese this whole time. Whoops. Ouch. Oh, yuck. And then you throw it away. That's where a lot of that stuff is. So, but this is, I let it settle for a little bit because they say it's better to be a little flat to help you out. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean,
I have no idea. I just know that whenever I have an upset stomach, especially when you're sick, I don't know. It's just, when you're sick, I mean, and water tastes like, you know, just tastes bland. And you're like, oh God, no, I need something. My go-to's always been ginger ale.
Yeah.
So need a little fizz. And yep. I think it does work on the stomach. I think ginger as a root is supposed to be helpful.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Now, whether or not ginger ale is helpful, but hey, you know, it has ginger in it.
I got Canada Dry. It says made from real ginger. So it's supposed to help me. It's supposed to help.
The shavings of ginger.
My only concern is I don't want to get a little burpy on the radio.
That's so all right.
I try to stay away from carbonated beverages.
Can edit that out later.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. But no, I had such a good time. I mean, I just had this sense of, all right, here's what I did. I got the sampler appetizer, which shocked my whole family last night.
That's always the go-to thing to get.
Well, usually we get like mozzarella sticks, but the problem with mozzarella sticks is I have a family of four. There's usually six. People are always fighting. My kids are always fighting over I'm always wanting two. My wife's always okay with one, but I'm always fighting with the kids and I just went, you know what? This platter has wings and potato skins and mozzarella sticks and cheese quesadilla. And I was like, bring it on. Bring home the platter.
No, so, my wife and I, we, when, before kids, when we were happy, We used to go to this place all the time, and it was right down the street from our house. We would just go there. All we would do, it was our night out thing. Because whenever we would have a date night, we never like going to the movies. It was very rare we went to the movies, just because it's like, well, you know, go to a movie, you can't really talk to each other.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, that's right.
You get yelled at for talking to each other in a movie. So we would always go to this restaurant, and they had like a little outdoor patio where they'd play some music, and we would get there and just, you know, have a couple of beers and order the appetizer platter. And it was, you know, it was perfect.
It's great. It's the best.
It had all the flavors that you were just talking about. I was like, why get anything else? We don't need a meal. We just need the appetizers.
Yeah. So I overate a little bit last night, and I'm paying the price a little bit for it this morning. That's all okay. Right. All right. I mean, it's not like I didn't get food poisoning or anything. I just got a little, you know, what is this? Why are you, stop with the food.
Can relax. You need, we can replay something for tomorrow if you need a 10 minute break.
Right. Very good. Good point. Oh, goodness. So I'm hoping my family enjoyed it last night. It was a nice, it was a good treat, but it was a little overbearing.
All right, feeling a little gluttonous, aren't you?
Feeling a little gluttonous is absolutely, completely. All right, coming up next. Yesterday was a announcement for the Super Bowl that had everybody up in arms, and John Gruden is saying something that I wish he wouldn't say. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
To SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Now, you like this? You like this music? Yeah. You'll be hearing it on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. That's right. Maroon 5 is going to be the halftime act. Can I ask a question? Why are people up in arms over this? Is because Atlanta's got some other good art? I mean, yesterday over this, and I think it's because like Atlanta's got some really good acts, a lot of people from Atlanta, and this is just being perceived really badly, and it's somebody smarter than me is gonna have to explain what the outrage is.
TLC to be out there?
Yeah, is that right? Is T.I. from Atlanta? I think there was somebody mentioned on Twitter that T.I. was.
I mean, if they were going to do it, I would say you have to bring out Arrested Development.
Maybe so, right?
Little, yeah. You know, a little halftime show with Mr. Wendell. Come on now.
Yeah, come on.
No, but I
don't know. This seems normal to me. This seems like, all right, they're a hot act. They're a good act. They get the halftime show. That's what it's always been.
Yeah, and they're likable, too.
Yeah, they're not controversial.
I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to have your like hard rock guys and you're like, oh, God, why do we want to listen to this? But
I mean, I saw so many tweets from my music friends, and I should have reached out to them and said, what's like, it was all cryptic. And I said, well, why is this a problem? I mean, listen, I don't put a lot of faith. I mean, not a faith. I mean, thought into the halftime act. I mean, I'll see it and I'll watch it, but I don't lose my mind over it. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but people thought that this was a big deal, that they blew off some other important acts or some other people that are bigger today than Maroon 5. I don't know. Maroon 5 seems to be pretty big. Is it their lead singer on The Voice?
Yeah. He's actually Adam Levine. He's really funny.
Yeah. He's a good, he seems pretty funny. He seems pretty good. Seems to know what he's doing. I just think the NFL said, okay, yeah, they're popular and good. Remember when the NFL, I don't know if they're doing this, but the NFL had thrown the idea out of like the record companies paying the NFL for the acts to be in the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's actually doing that. So maybe the NFL asked some people and they said, no, we don't want to pay it. And Maroon 5's people, record company, said, yeah, we'll pay. We'll put them in the Super Bowl.
Here's a quick little list of top acts, top music acts from, or list of famous bands from Atlanta. You ready? Okay. So number one on the list is the Black Crowes. You couldn't have them do, that's not a halftime show.
Are they still around, the Black Crowes?
Yeah, they're still around.
Yeah, I'm still around. I'm thinking they still aren't. Okay.
Come on.
Chris Robinson.
Yeah. You see, you got Andre 3000, Outkast, T.I., Ludacris, John Mayer.
T.I. from Atlanta. Okay.
Why would you have John Mayer?
John Mayer can't do the halftime, can he?
He would put everyone to sleep.
Yeah, you can't do the halftime. You need a kind of a jumping up and down kind of act.
There you go. A friend of Adam Levine, because I'm assuming they're friends because they were on The Voice together. Maybe he'll bring him along. Is CeeLo.
CeeLo. Okay, let's get CeeLo in there.
Yeah.
Why not? CeeLo had that hit, what, 6-7 years ago? Has he got hits now? I'm not up to date on CeeLo's resume.
He's moved into the producer role, I believe.
Gotcha. Okay.
He's a producer now.
You could revisit some of his hits from a couple years ago.
Oh, definitely. Better than that,
you can make a multiple act.
I'm going down this list. There really isn't any. Oh, maybe Gnarls Barkley.
Okay, is this what people are really up in arms about? I don't see. This is the Atlanta group people are screaming about.
Yeah, maybe can
at the
we
top of their lungs.
What about bringing back Indigo Girls?
Indigo Girls?
Yeah, they're from Atlanta.
That was like. Aren't they from like the 80s, the Indigo Girls, in the early 90s?
Yeah, you know, they're fine. Bring them back out.
I feel like Indigo Girls have been around for a very, very long time.
How about Gladys Knight?
Gladys Knight is from Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's right.
Should have had
she
her
had a
that
gambling problem.
Show.
That's how, thanks to Behind the Music, I know Gladys Knight had a gambling problem.
And that's why she plays casinos all across the country now.
That's right. She loved Baccarat. That was from the only reason I know that is because I watched the Gladys Knight Behind the Music on VH1.
Nope, I got it. This is who should have done it. Crisscross. Okay.
Oh, yeah, of course. Make you jump, jump.
Make you jump.
Yeah, why not? He should have done it.
No,
okay, so that's what people are upset about.
Yeah, but
Maroon 5 got the halftime show over these great Atlanta acts that got dissed. Oh, okay.
I mean, I had TLC. I know Lisa Lopez is dead.
Yeah, but she died, right?
I think if she was still alive, that would make the most sense. And they probably would have done it.
They probably would have done it.
But
So who was it last year? Lady Gaga?
No, last year was Timberlake.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's right. It was Timberlake because he did Prince.
Yeah, the year before that was Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga in Houston.
Yep. Jumping off
okay.
the roof.
Jumping, yeah, okay, all right. It's funny. I can remember Super Bowls, but I can't remember halftime acts. And like, I was talking to somebody the other day about Katy Perry. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember Left Shark? That was like 5 or 6 years ago. They're like, no, it wasn't like 3 years ago, four years.
Really?
I
thought that was a long time ago.
Really? It's like, I thought that was a long time ago.
Because before the last two,
that's Patriots the only Seahawks Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's the one I remember. I remember Katy Perry because,
yeah,
you know.
Before, I remember.
There's two reasons why I remember Katy Perry.
two main reasons.
Two main reasons. I remember Katy Perry. Trying to stick out at you.
And it wasn't coming in on a big, big, giant lion.
It
was. So I think Maroon 5 is a fine act. I just wish. This is one of those things where I'm completely ignorant. I don't know why people were angry.
What, though?
But Twitter blew up over this. It really did.
To be honest, though, it doesn't matter who you would have chosen. They would have blown up anyways.
No, you're right. You're right. People take this way too seriously.
It could have been, hey, you know what? We're reuniting the Beatles. All four members of the Beatles are going to be on stage at one time, assuming, you know, all of them were still alive. And people were like, oh, why are the Beatles there? They're not American.
They should get Kiss to do it again. Kiss is announcing a final tour. They should actually do the Super Bowl again. Kiss would be great. I was a big Kiss fan when I was a kid.
That'd be awesome.
I shouldn't have been a Kiss fan when I was a kid.
But don't you feel like Kiss we need to do one in Detroit, though?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if it ever goes back to Detroit, you need to have Kiss.
If it ever goes back to Detroit. And you know what's funny? If it goes back to Detroit in 20 years, I bet Kiss would still do it in their like 80s and 90s.
Of course.
Gene Simmons would be like, of course, I will absolutely do the Super Bowl. You have to, of course, pay me a lot of money, but I will be more than happy to do it.
Tongue all hanging out.
God, I loved Kiss. I was such a Kiss fan. I had all this. Remember, because they marketed themselves. They had color forms and lunchboxes. I mean, I was all in. My parents had the 8-track tape. Color forms. Remember color forms?
Of course I do.
Kiss color forms were crying out loud. Like, I had Kiss everything. They were toys. They made toys. There was a rock band that had toys. How crazy is that?
Yeah, we might have alienated 80% of our listener audience mentioning color forms, but
color forms. I know they don't know what that
is. Awesome.
Color forms were great. You used to peel them and then place them on a plaything, and then you could unpeel them and put them on somewhere else.
Yeah, I had a lot of superhero ones.
That's right.
Spider-Man or Batman.
I was like, man, I'm going to put Paul Stanley here and Ace Frehley there and Peter Criss here. It was great.
But you do your best to try to match up how they actually stand on stage.
Yeah, how they actually stand on stage.
Oh, no, this isn't right. He's a little bit more to the left.
It was weird though, because like I got a Kiss puzzle one time. It was a puzzle, right? It was cool. And it was one of the album covers, but it was the album cover where Kiss was standing and it was like a bunch of half naked women were like down below. And I'm just like putting this puzzle together. I'm like, I probably shouldn't have been putting that puzzle together, but it didn't matter because it was Kiss. It was fantastic.
Eh, there's no parental code on it. You're fine.
No, there was. Of course not. Of course not. I've never seen them in concert. I have never seen them in concert. My brother did. He was in the same boat as me. We loved him as when we were younger, growing up, Kiss Army, all that stuff. He said, I kid you not. And he was older at the time. He was like, he wasn't like a 20 something year old kid crazy. He was like, I went to go see him. And he goes, everything they say is true. They truly try to put on the best possible show they can. It's 100% dedicated to entertainment value. They gave it 110%. If you can give that, mathematically you can't, but that's, He said it was great. So I was like, I really wish I could see him. But I think that's where she'd go. Maroon 5, good luck with the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
It'll be fun.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
It'll be a Super Bowl. I mean, it's there. I mean, you don't watch the Super Bowl for the halftime show anyways.
I don't either. I don't. And I don't know why people make the big deal out of the halftime show.
Because they
have
to.
I don't think the halftime show is. Listen, I'm old enough to remember when it was Up With People. Okay. I mean, that's what it was, right? The Grambling Marching Band. It wasn't a big deal. Michael Jackson came. He did a halftime show, and boom, we've been off to the races ever since. Halftime show was always marching bands or Up With People or whatever little small group it was. It wasn't a big deal. Nobody thought about it. Now it's become this, super production where
it's become the show within the show.
It's become the mini concert. Right.
And, I mean,
most of it's lip synced and it's not even a huge deal anyway.
Yeah. I don't even think I know now they extend halftime, but I don't back pre Michael Jackson. I don't think they extended halftime.
Yeah. I don't think
so.
It was
like a normal halftime just to throw out there, throw a marching band out there, have the cheerleaders do whatever they need to do and get off the field. Now it's it's a big production.
Now it's a half an hour, 40, half an hour that they do? They get the stage out there. They do quick songs. People go crazy. They put a bunch of people out on the field. Then they blow up some fireworks, and then the smoke clears, and we start second half. And that's it. And then everybody goes on Twitter saying how much they hated it.
Yep.
You can't win with the halftime show, by the way. If you do, no matter what you do, if the halftime show, people are going to love it or hate it, and it's going to be the most buzz you'll probably get for a live performance of any act.
Until you look back on it.
It's one act that you do in front of 100-something million people.
But you love it when you can look back on it. Because I remember when Prince performed, I think people didn't like Prince. People had reasons to complain, like, why is Prince doing the halftime show? Oh, that show wasn't that great. And then we look back on it, it's like, oh, that was the greatest halftime show ever.
It was one of the greatest ones ever, yep.
You know,
Purple Rain in the Rain, that's what people always talked about.
Yeah, Prince needs to do it every year.
So Maroon 5 in Atlanta. At Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Very nice place, by the way. I haven't been there yet, but I hear it's great. One of those modern stadiums. It's got low concession prices.
Now,
I don't know if the low concession prices sit the Super Bowl, though.
I hope so.
Like $4 beers at the Super Bowl? I don't know. The NFL comes in and goes, let's change that around. Like when the NCAA basketball tournament invades your basketball stadium and they change everything and they're like, yeah, we'll be running this show
I just want to know, will Chick-fil-A be open Super Bowl Sunday?
See, that's going to be the big dilemma for Chick-fil-A, because they've got a Chick-fil-A at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for everything else besides the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They don't open it on Sundays, but on a Monday night game for the Falcons, you can get Chick-fil-A. On a Saturday college football kickoff classic or whatever, Peach Bowl, whatever, you can get Chick-fil-A. But if you're there to see the Falcons-Saints game this weekend, for example, you can't get it on Sunday. Can you get it on Super Bowl Sunday? If they stick to their guns, the answer would be no. If they acquiesce on their principle, the answer will be yes.
So you just make an exception for one day. Hey, it's the biggest sporting event in the world. We should be open.
Well, don't they have to clear that? Aren't they doing it for religious reasons, right?
Yeah.
Or is it family?
Is it religious reasons
or just a company principle?
I think it's both.
It's a company principle based on religious belief.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's a day of rest.
Okay. So, all right.
But if nothing else is going on that day or that week.
Just saying.
Take Saturday off. It's okay. Take the day before. Give everybody Saturday off to be with their families. Have them come in on Sunday Super Bowl. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. All right, Thursday Night Football, Jets and Browns. We'll talk more a little bit about that. Not too much. We'll get into that. But also what John Gruden has said that makes me want to go, stop talking, next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's hard to find a great one. It's hard to find a good one. It's hard to find one. You just said it. You know, college football now, they're not really dropping back to pass and throwing footballs anymore. They're throwing laterals and they're throwing bubble screens and they're running read options. So you got to train these guys. It takes a little bit of time to learn how to rush the passer.
Oh, John Gruden. It's hard to find a good passer because you had one and then you decided not to keep him around. You decided to trade him. Come on, John, slow down. This is the one thing people are talking about with you. Do not go anywhere near defense, pass rushers, troubles on defense, troubles rushing the passer, troubles with pass rushers in the league, pass rushers in college. Just do me a favor. Stay away from the topic entirely. Just stay away. Stay away. God, these people with their PR problems. I could make so much money just guiding you and helping you do this Khalil Mack trade. Hey, when Khalil Mack's name brought up, don't say anything. Say you wish him well. Don't bring up the fact that you can't find a pass rusher because that's silly. Oh, John, that's great.
Or just keep it simple. It was a business decision.
Just business decision. That's
just
it.
Leave it at that.
When people say he's doing so good with the Bears, go, well, it was a business decision. There were circumstances that we had to make based on the fact that we couldn't make it work here. That's it. Can't find a good pass rusher. Because when you do get one, you just trade him away immediately. Somebody else. The Bears are probably not saying that. You know what? It's easy to find a pass rusher in the league. Just wait for John Gruden's team to have one that they can't have anymore, and then they'll just trade him to you. God, John Gruden. This is going to be so much fun. He's probably going to last a couple more years before he goes, I'm out. I'm done. I got to get out of here. I'm going back to can I get my Monday Night Football gig back? That was so much easier than this.
and people loved me.
Oh, people loved me on Monday Night Football. No one was criticizing me. They just had a good time. It was great. I was going around the league. I was talking to everybody. I was getting paid a lot of money. It's a really cool broadcasting gig.
Yeah, I probably showed up, 30 minutes before game time?
Just banged it out. That's all you got to do. And now instead, you work in 20-hour days. People criticizing everything, including trading away a star player to another team, and then you complaining that you don't have that sort of personnel anymore. Oh, goodness gracious. 800-777-2907, or hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as we roll along on a Thursday on SB Nation AM.